You're not only one of the main proprietors of one of the biggest traffic blogs on the web. What were you doing 10 years ago?
I was running call centers for the alarm industry.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV, and yes, I have a mustache. Today we're talking with Ed Morrissey of Hot Air. Ed, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Ed, tell us about Hot Air.
Hot Air is it's a booming business at Hot Air. I've been there since February of 2008, so I'm coming up on 3 years. We have about tripled the readership, but it's been a great ride for me.
Hot Air showcases video as well as blogging by yourself and Ala Pundit and a couple other people. Ala Pundit, will you name him?
I will not, although I will say that the rumor that Nick Gillespie is Ala Pundit is absolutely unfounded.
Absolutely not true. Not true at all.
Not true.
What is the essence of Hot Air? What makes for a good Hot Air story?
It's an interesting question because we just got done doing the top 50 most viewed posts of 2010. It was actually a rather surprising mix. A lot of people went into it thinking that, you know, the top 20 of those were going to be all Sarah Palin posts. As it turned out, only four of the top 50 were about Sarah Palin. I think five or six of them were about Chris Christie. I think it has to do with the timeliness of the event or the person that we're covering. And I certainly think it has something to do with the commentary we're providing on it. But I think timeliness and video is important.
What are the politics of Hot Air? How do you define them?
I would say that the politics of Hot Air are center-right, conservative libertarian sort of fusion. I think both Ala Pundit and I have libertarian flavor to the conservative viewpoint that we have.
You've also started writing a column for The Week, the great news magazine. What's that about, and what types of stuff will you be covering?
The Week wanted to have a more straightforward conservative point of view. They have a really great lineup called The Bullpen. And they felt that they needed a strong conservative voice to be part of that in order to provide balance, because they have some really good, talented writers there. You know, Robert Shrum is obviously from the left. You've got David Frum. You've got, from sort of doing the No Labels thing now, and you've got Francis Wilkinson, a number of people that are really excellent writers at the Bullpen. So I'm very excited to be there. And I plan on basically presenting the same type of viewpoint in a little bit longer form essay-related thing, rather than the blog post where you do the excerpt and the commentary, excerpt and commentary, more just straightforward column writing there. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's talk a little bit about your background, because you're not only one of the main proprietors of one of the biggest traffic blogs on the web, but you also are a kind of the personification of the opportunities that are afforded by a decentralized, more democratized form of media. What were you doing 10 years ago?
10 years ago, I was running call centers for the alarm industry, which is an all-encompassing, or usually is an all-encompassing task, and it's a 24/7 type of job. But, you know, everybody gets downtime. And about a little over 7 years ago, I started dabbling in doing some writing on politics. I've always been interested in politics. I've always been a news junkie.
And this was your first blog, The Captain's Quarters?
Captain's Quarters was my first blog, yeah. And it started in October of 2003. And honestly, the reason why I started it then was my wife was in the hospital. I had some free time on my hands. And so
you would just take whenever the alarm calls came in, you would just turn them off so that you could have some me time?
Officially speaking, I did this on my own time. That's the story I'm sticking to.
So you went from Captain's Quarters to Hot Air?
Originally, I went from Captain's Quarters to Blog Talk Radio. We kept Captain's Quarters going, but I was hired by Blog Talk Radio. Worked there for slightly less than a year. Really interesting concept at Blog Talk Radio. A technology that gives a type of radio show to anybody with a phone and an internet connection. Right. So it's, again, the lowering of the publication.
Let's say the lowering of quality standards as well as barriers to entry.
But when you lower barriers to entry, you get a whole lot of variety and diversity, which is what's good about that.
Absolutely.
Same thing's true in the blogosphere.
The Republicans have just taken over the House of Representatives for the first time in a few years. What jazzes you up about that, and what makes you sweat a little bit?
What jazzes me up about that is that by taking control of the House, as opposed to taking control of the Senate by itself, the Republicans have an opportunity to cut funding to government agencies that don't deserve funding, reduce funding to government agencies that really need to have a leash.
Can you name three that fit into that?
I think, at least in terms of the leash, I think you're going to have to be looking at the FCC, the EPA, almost anything that dabbles in the interstate commerce, Wickard versus Filburn area really needs to have their funding either reduced or eliminated. The difficulty, of course, is that because they don't have the Senate and because they don't have the White House, expectations may be a little overblown at this point as to exactly what the Republicans can accomplish.
You are based in Minneapolis.
Yes.
What are the benefits of being far outside the Beltway? And I won't say the real America, but you're far outside the Beltway. Does that help or hurt your perspective?
Well, I think it just gives you a different perspective. I think it gives you a perspective of how things are playing that are farther outside of the media bubble in Washington, D.C. There was a really interesting article in the Washington Post that, and I like the Washington Post, but sure. I really ripped this article because the article was, Republicans are going to take over the House and the economy in the local area is going to crash because spending won't be going on here. Well, that may sound interesting to people inside D.C., but it's the money that's coming from every place else that is inflating that bubble that really needs to be deflated if it's based on government subsidies. And so I think it's interesting to have that kind of a perspective, whereas if I was living in D.C., I might be saying, yeah, you know, the economy might be hurt by this. I think distance has its drawbacks as well. I think you're not necessarily as well connected to some of the things that are, some of the undercurrents that are going on, some of the behind the scenes things that are going on in Washington, D.C. You have to make up for that by trying to cultivate connections from people who are here and looking for really good reporters who are doing really good work.
What is the biggest issue, do you think, that divides conservatives and libertarians?
I think there's a few, and these are issues that you struggle with because as a conservative, you are looking at the concept of limited government as a foundational principle, but then conservatives tend to want to have government run things like, say, in just using one example, definitions of marriage, which libertarians would dispute. There are things that conservatives want to spend money on at the government level that libertarians may have an issue with. I think one of the interesting things that are going to come up is, and it was, I write about this today, is the issue of cutting spending at the Pentagon, which I think is not necessarily a libertarian point of view, but I think the idea of limited government and drives that to some extent. I think that we have to take a look at our role strategically in the world, and I think there are places that we don't necessarily have to be anymore. I'm not sure that we have to be, have this big, huge, heavy footprint in Europe and supporting European security.
And let's face it, you don't even think we should be in Rhode Island, do you?
I think we should defend Rhode Island. Rhode Island should be defended. Even with Lincoln Chafee in charge of Rhode Island, I think we should defend Rhode Island.
Well, I want to thank Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com and of The Week. Congratulations on the new column. Thanks for talking to Reason TV. I'm Nick Gillespie.